Following is a Journey into Comics Network production.
Hello, everyone. You are listening to the first episode of The Poor Rapport. I am your host, Andrew Poor, and I want to welcome you here to my first outing. It's been kind of some time coming. The Poor Rapport is something I actually started in 2012. It was a simple radio show back then. It's something where I just played a little bit of music I liked, top 40, alternative rock, and then talked a little bit about just things that were going on in my life or just things I was interested in. So it's kind of nice to be able to resurrect this title for my first ever podcast. You may have heard my stuff before. I've been on, I'm a co-host of Foodies with Nate and Veronica. And I've also been on one Journey into Comics episode where Nate and I had a marathon session discussing a lot of the CW shows as well as Gotham. It was a lot of fun, and I'm kind of glad that that kind of led into Nate and Brandon kind of suggesting that I have my own show, and it's something that I've been kind of working on for a couple weeks now, and it's kind of exciting to finally get this first one out there. Now, a podcast is something I haven't really been exposed to for as long as, say, Journey into Comics has been running. My first exposure was probably a few years ago when I found out that the director and now podcaster Kevin Smith had his own podcast. So that was a couple years ago, and I've always liked Kevin Smith, his movies. I remember really getting into his book, Tough Shit. Quite interesting read, and I urge anyone who likes Kevin Smith or his movies to pick that up. It's a nice story of his life. It's his own autobiography. And if you get the audiobook, it's recorded by him. And he definitely loves to talk, which is kind of funny given that he's well known for the Silent Bob character. So I kind of was first exposed to that through his Hollywood Babylon, his Fat Man on Batman, and his Jay and Silent Bob Get Old. So that was kind of my first exposure to what podcasts were. I didn't really think it was that big a thing. It sounded a lot like just stuff that was on the radio. So getting actually to find out that this is kind of a broader world that exists through online radio is something that's very interesting, and I hope it keeps going and doing what it's doing. Now, kind of how I've got involved with Journey to Comics is through Nate Phillips, who you all well know for anyone who listens to any of the podcasts on this network. Nate and I have known each other, since like 2006 or so, back when Nate worked at GameStop and I was just a customer at GameStop. And I remember getting to know him and hanging out outside of while he was working. And we kind of fell out of touch when I went off to college. But we got back in touch back in, I think, late 2015, early 2016, when I found out about Nate's podcast, and then he was starting up Foodies, Watching Movies, was something he was working on with Veronica, and he just wanted to know if I wanted to be a part of it, because he knew I liked movies, which, if anyone's seen my apartment, you can see that I have hundreds of movies on my shelves of varying genre, and for kind of more of my opinions on that, you can kind of watch our Foodies Watching Movies, which we'll hopefully do another show very soon. Like I said, Nate and I have known each other for a while, and my first podcast ever that I've ever been on was the episode of Foodies, which I believe was the official episode one, which was us discussing Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtles, the first movie, and just kind of talking about that, and it was my first thing. It was kind of sitting around Nate's living room on a couch with a microphone in front of me, and it was my first exposure to actually recording. I've done theater and I've done acting, so I'm used to kind of being in front of people, but kind of this medium of talking and knowing that there's other people on there. Like, I've done small little radio segments at like local radio stations for publicity for plays I've done, but this is kind of the first exposure to something that's a show, and it's kind of led me here, which is really exciting. And I know I did a lot of planning, and the show started out with going through a couple different iterations before I actually recorded what I'm recording now. So it kind of started out with being just a general thought show where I could have random segments with people or just hosting. But then I kind of wanted to play off the Poll Report, which sounds similar to a show that ran on Comedy Central for a number of years, since I don't actually say the T, because it's the Poll Report, so it's kind of a rhyming thing, which I really don't have to explain to you guys who are listening, but it's kind of something I found was kind of a fun play on words, and actually not really a play on words to say. But kind of what I decided this podcast would be about is talking about a couple news clippings, like headlines that have either reached out to me or something I think is worth talking about and sharing with you guys, and kind of give my opinions on it or things I think is just worth telling. You obviously should get your news elsewhere. I'm not going to cover a lot, and I still haven't quite decided how long this show is going to air. If there's going to be every week, is it going to be 2 weeks? I haven't kind of figured that out yet. It kind of really depends on my schedule, which with work it gets kind of crazy week in, week out. But yeah, and then there'll be one big thing, which will be kind of an overarching topic that I'll do outside of those news headlines. And kind of I'll also include at the very end maybe like a teaser for what I'm going to talk about next week. What's my next big overarching topic? So I think it'll be an interesting treat to kind of see how this evolves as I go through it, because obviously the first time you do anything, it's going to have a little bit of rocky start. You're going to see a lot of ups and downs and not quite sure how things are going to pan out as you're saying them, because obviously this is unscripted. I kind of thought about what I was going to say, but I'm not reading from a script. I don't have a teleprompter. That's not how this show's going to go. But I'm kind of feeling my way through this as I go, and I know it might not be the smoothest now, but it's going to get smoother as this goes on, and I'm happy for you guys to have taken this journey with me. So thanks again to Nate and Brandon and everyone with the Journey into Comics Network that have been helping me so much as I've been getting this off the ground, and answering any questions I've had, because if anyone who knows me knows I ask a ton of questions. So with that, I'm going to lead into my segment for the show, and it'll have an interesting format, and you'll see the audio I throw in later, and I hope you enjoy it. So with that, I'm going to lead into the first official episode in format of The Poll Report. This just in, Disney announced plans to start its own online streaming service, and will eliminate its product on Netflix. This is expected to start some point in 2019, so panic, but slowly. In other news, Kevin Smith broke a world record, and the reason may surprise you. All this and more on this week's The Poll Report. Hello, ladies and gentlemen, and welcome to the first episode of The Poll Report. I am your host, Andrew Poor, and thank you for joining me on this momentous day. In the news this week, Disney announced plans to offer its own streaming service, effectively ending its relationship with Netflix, where you can see shows such as Captain America: Civil War and Moana. Now, Disney was bound to make this move eventually. They know they have premium content, and they know there's an ever-shrinking demand for people getting cable subscriptions. They know this is a way to get a bigger piece of the pie. They're not the first. We've had CBS All Access, which is going to offer Star Trek Discovery, which looks like an exciting show, but I don't know how many people are going to pay that much money for just one show. We also have DC's plans to offer their own online streaming service to offer a Titans live-action show. We already have a lot of DC shows on the CW, which is co-owned by Warner Brothers, so I'm surprised they're not just sticking with that platform. But at least CW's offered their own online streaming service that is free, which I think is probably how it should be. Because I realize if companies keep trying to make an online platform that's $7.99 or $9.99 per month, that people are going to have to pick and choose what they want to watch. I mean, some people drop Netflix when their prices increase. Most people don't have Hulu. I know I had Amazon Prime for a bit to watch some of their shows, but it just became not worth it for the content. So I have a feeling people are trying to get a bigger chunk of the pie, and they're end up falling flat. So that's kind of my thoughts on that big news. But it's not coming for... till they hope to launch it in 2019, so that means 2 years of Disney movies coming to Netflix, so that at least leaves good hope for the forthcoming, like, Spider-Man and other Disney and Marvel and Star Wars films. So that'll at least be exciting for at least a couple more years. And it won't affect any of the TV shows they're producing, with the forthcoming Defenders, as well as the Daredevil, Jessica Jones, Iron Fist, and Luke Cage, all of which have been fantastic shows and have been discussed on other shows on this network. Cannot wait another week or so for Defenders to finally air, and I'm sure someone, probably Nate and I, or Nate and Brandon, are going to dig into Defenders when it airs. So I'm looking forward to that. In other news this week, Kevin Smith broke a world record over the weekend. It was a record for the most Jay and Silent Bob cosplayers in one place. He organized at his local comic book shop out in Red Bank, New Jersey, which has been featured on the AMC show Comic Book Men, which is a pretty fun show, and I encourage all of my listeners to watch that. If you like Kevin Smith, if you like comics, and if you're listening on the Journey into Comics Network, that's probably a given. But anyway, he organized this for, I feel like, months. Anyone can come out to New Jersey dressed in something that could be construed as a Jay or Silent Bob costume, and hundreds of people went. I saw the pictures, and it was astronomical, and he had the people from the Guinness Book of World Records come out and do a plaque, and I'm sure it'll be a whole episode feature on AMC when Comic Book Men returns in the fall. So that's another good show to watch, and if you don't have cable, unfortunately, AMC does not have a streaming service that I'm aware of, but I will look into that and report at a later time. Another article I saw in the news, which I find kind of interesting, and since it's a news show, you should talk about things outside of just entertainment news, is that with our lovely president, Donald Trump, earlier this week, he reported on the news based on the nuclear testing that North Korea is doing and threats they've made to the U.S., and he said he would bring the fire and the fury, something like of which those have never seen before. Now, I may not be the biggest fan of Trump, but his articles or at least seem to be somewhat interesting. It seems like it wasn't a prepared statement. It was another off-the-cuff statement like Trump is common to make. Kind of the first thing I heard, it reminded me of Game of Thrones. And for those of you who watched the most recent Game of Thrones, you know it was all fire and fury. I will say one thing about President Trump is that he definitely knows how to create a news story. He can create something pretty straightforward and kind of covers the news, either something he tweeted, something he said off the cuff, like he tends to do. He's just able to change the news cycle for a bit. That's something that he's been doing since his campaign, and that's not a great thing, but it's something that he's going to be known for the rest of his life. That's something that's going to be in the history books, is that's going to be part of his personality. Now, politics or political news aren't going to be the main focus of my show. It's going to be a piece of it, like everything else I've kind of talked about on this episode. Some might focus more heavily on entertainment news, some might focus on local news, or it might all be about a topic I happen to be interviewing a guest, which I hope to have on a regular occasion, maybe every other episode, or however it ends up working out. But there'll be a show regardless, and really depends on what I see or what strikes my fancy that it's going to be a part of the show. And that was one of the segments that brought up. So, despite kind of what the logo shows, it's going to be a show about me and a show about, kind of what I like and where it kind of goes from there. But now I get on to my main segment for today, and that is on the book Marvel Comics, The Untold Story by Sean Ho. I'm going to kind of read kind of the plot summary from like the back of the book. It says, an unvarnished, unauthorized, behind-the-scenes account of one of the most dominant pop cultural forces in contemporary America. Opening out of a tiny office on Madison Avenue in the early 1960s, a struggling company called Marvel Comics presented a cast of brightly costumed characters distinguished by smart banter and compelling human flaws. Spider-Man, the Fantastic Four, Captain America, The Incredible Hulk, The Avengers, Iron Man, Thor, The X-Men, and Daredevil. These superheroes quickly won children's hearts and sparked the imagination of pop artists, public intellectuals, and campus radicals. Over the course of half a century, Marvel's epic universe would become the most elaborate fictional narrative in history and serve as a modern American mythology for millions of readers. Throughout this decades-long journey to becoming a multi-billion-dollar enterprise, Marvel's identity has continually shifted, careening between scrappy underdog and corporate behemoth. As the company has weathered Wall Street machinations, Hollywood failures, and the collapse of the comic book market, its characters have been passed along among generations of editors, artists, and writers, also known as the celebrated Marvel bullpen. Entrusted to carry on tradition, Marvel's contributors impoverished child prodigies, hallucinating beatniks, and mercenary careerists among them. Struggled with commercial mandates, a fickle audience, and over matters of credit and control from one another. For the first time, Marvel Comics revealed the outsized personalities behind the scenes, including Martin Goodman, the self-made publisher who forayed into comics after a get-rich-quick tip in 1939, Stan Lee, the energetic editor who would shepherd the company through thick and thin for decades, and Jack Kirby, the World War II veteran who'd co-created Captain America in 1940, and 20 years later developed with Lee the bulk of the company's marquee characters in a three-year frenzy of creativity that would be the grounds for future legal battles and endless debates. Drawing on more than 100 original interviews with Marvel insiders then and now, Marvel Comics is a story of fertile imaginations, lifelong friendships, action-packed fistfights, reformed criminals, unlikely alliances, and third-act betrayals, a narrative of one of the most extraordinary, beloved, and beleaguered pop culture entities in America's history. And I know that seems like a mouthful, but the book that's over 400 pages, that's kind of the shortest summary I can give. And it's a fantastic read. If you like history, if you liked Marvel, if you seen a movie and kind of wondered how it got from A to B, this is the thing to do it. It's not all highlights. It's not all big fantastical stories. It kind of gets into the down and dirty of what it was like at that time in New York being a comic publisher and trying to and creating things that you have no basis for. Now, if you're a comic writer, you kind of have a platform, you have some kind of format, something that you could see that came first. This really didn't have anything. This was all new and interesting, and it led to a lot of issues with where artists and writers who came up with these ideas for characters had to struggle to get credit for their work and get pay, and for when, like, it eventually led to them being in movies and in media and in merchandise, who got that money. I know it was a big thing with not with Marvel Comics, with DC Comics, with Siegel and Shuster, who created Superman. It took them decades to try and get credit back, and I think they worked something out. And I think in the most recent Superman movies, they're listed as a character created by, I think it's Jerry Siegel and Joe Shuster. But it's an interesting read, Marvel Comics Untold Story. Sean Ho really kind of dug in there and got to the bare bones of it. You get to see the beginnings of the Marvel bullpen with all the colorful characters, with Jack Kirby and Flo, who was their secretary, and just all these other characters. You get to see the Steve Ditko era when Jim Lee was in and out. Frank Miller as a young kid before he went to DC. It really just covers this, it covers decades of this, and I really can't praise it enough. You kind of feel for some of these people, and sometimes you kind of even disliking Stan Lee for some of the stuff he does, how, he kind of was more of an idea man. He's almost treated like a Frank Zuckerberg character, like featured in The Social Network. It's just he was kind of, he really was this young kid at first, and it's, he was the face of Marvel, and then he did all these shows, and there was the falling out he had with Jack Kirby. It's all covered here, and it's all really worth the read, and I can't recommend it enough. So I encourage all of my listeners to really dig into Marvel Comics The Untold Story. And if you want something a little bit lighter, if you don't want all this fluff, I also kind of in my Marvel Comics searching, I found Stan Lee had worked with a couple other writers and artists to create a comic book memoir of his life called Amazing, Fantastic, Incredible, A Marvelous Memoir. And it's just a comic book. It's all drawn up. It shows his whole life from a kid up into, I think it was Captain America, Winter Soldier, I think is the last picture. But it really shows that through all of this, that Stan Lee has really been around for a while. And good times or bad, Stan Lee is the face of Marvel. He's the father of Marvel. He's he is to Marvel Comics what Kevin Feige is to Marvel Studios. And it's just, both of those are great read. I think if you want something you can get through in one sitting, I encourage you to read the memoir. It definitely is all positives. It kind of does everything with a little bit of a sense of satire and makes it a little bit funner to read. I'm assuming the market is not as much for adults, like me or like a lot of the listeners I'll have. For fans of Marvel Comics and for kids, so I encourage you to read one or both of those. They offer not so much a conflicting view of the startup of Marvel Comics, but it really gets into the, they offer kind of a complete-ish story. And that was kind of my big thing. And that's kind of my big segment today. I know it, I think my episodes are going to vary in length, obviously, when you're kind of by yourself just talking. It can go for hours, it can go for minutes, and really as I'm trying to find my footing here, I know the format's probably going to change some. We're going to see different segments I'm going to bring in, and it's kind of going with the training wheels on. So it's kind of getting my feet wet, and I'm sure you'll see an evolution of this show as it continues forward. So I want to thank you all for listening today. And follow me on social media. Listen to the other shows on the Journey Into Comics Network at journeyintocomics.com. Follow our Patreon. And I think it's at patreon.com/journeyintocomics. And thanks for listening. And tune in for the next episode, which I think will be even better. So, thanks, guys, and have a great rest of your week.
What's up, everyone? Nate here.
And Brando.
Boy, are things changing around here.
Yeah, man, with the new network and everything, what's that mean for the Journey into Comics podcast?
It means the OG of JIC, the flagship show of this network, the thing that brought us together. Well, you get what I'm saying.
Yeah.
It's not going anywhere. It's going to stay a mainstay of our network, and we cannot wait to do more content. Episode 200 is right around the corner.
Man, you know, we just did 150 not long ago, and it just seems like the more that the months go by and the more that the shows go by, the quicker those big milestones come around. And dude, everyone, be sure to subscribe that way you never miss out on a single episode.
Yeah, every Monday right here on the Journey into Comics Network. Thank you guys so much for listening.